You know, several years ago, the great San Francisco Bay Bridge was significantly damaged by a strong earthquake. Perhaps you remember the story. In fact, a quarter of the bridge was completely destroyed and had to be completely rebuilt. Now, the crazy thing is, it took 11 years for that section of the bridge to be renovated. 11 years. And to you, that may seem like a normal amount of time to repair a quarter of the bridge. But when you look at the facts, when that Bay Bridge was originally built, construction began in 1933, and construction was completed by 1936. So do the math. When that Bay Bridge was originally built, the generation back then spent just about 3 years building that bridge in completion. 3 years. And now fast forward to the generation of today and our generation of workers, it took them 11 years to rebuild just a quarter of the bridge with advanced technology and with way better equipment. When I hear stories like that, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to compare generation past to generation of today. When you hear stories like that about the different generations, it's hard not to play the comparison game. I think the same is true for us as believers when we read the Bible. We hear about the great faith of people like Joshua or Gideon or the children of Israel. We hear about all of these great people in the Bible and we compare our faith to people like Abraham or Enoch or even the parents of Moses. And if you're like me, when you look back to the generations past, the generation of believers then, and you read their stories and you hear about their faith, if you're like me, you think about our stories and our generation and our faith as being somewhat inferior to theirs. But the truth is, when you look a little bit closer, you'll notice that their great faith wasn't always as great as it was in the end. You see, even the believers in the past, they had doubts just like you and I do. They had uncertainties in their path, just like you and I have uncertainties in our path. In many of their stories, their faith started out small, and it took a while for them to truly trust God enough to move forward with confidence according to God's plan. As I was thinking about that recently, the Lord reminded me of a story in the Bible in a way that only the Lord could. I was unpacking some boxes in my office, and I came across a gift that I had received from a friend in the Holy Land. And the gift was a silver statue, and I brought a picture of it for you to see. The silver statue is two shiny guys carrying some huge shiny grapes on a pole. And when I looked at this statue for the first time in a long time, I looked at it and I was very confused about what that was representing. In fact, I was so confused that I Googled it. And this is what I put in the search engine. I put two shiny guys carrying grapes on a stick in the Holy Land. And as soon as I did that, my search engine reminded me of a story in Numbers chapter 13 that I hadn't read for a really long time. And so this morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, I'm going to invite you to join me in Numbers chapter 13. And as we do that, I want to unpack this story for you and show you what the Lord has been showing me about faith steps lately. And what I believe it looks like now to truly trust God in moments like these. So Numbers chapter 13. If you're still turning there, allow me just to set up what we're about to read today and give a little context so you know where we're at in the story. As you begin this chapter, the Lord is having a conversation with a guy named Moses. Now, Moses is the one that's leading the children of Israel through the desert, and he's making his way to the promised land. He's leading his people to the place where God said they were to go. And the reason it's called the promised land is because God had promised this incredible land to his people. And yet, as you begin in chapter 13, you get a snapshot of God's people. They're camping out in the deserts of Paran, particularly in the area of Kadesh. And as they're spending the time in the desert, they're growing far too comfortable in their desert experience. And now as you sense the spirit of the people, you get this idea that the people were thinking, why do we have to continue changing? Why do I have to keep adapting? Why do we have to continue packing up our camp and moving forward? Why can't we just stay put for a while? Why do we continue have to strain and to move forward into this area that God has promised us, this promised land? I like it where we are. At this point in history, the children of Israel were sort of on the fence when it came to moving forward to the promised land. At this point, I want you to understand that they're comfortable. They're tired. They most likely thought that they were better off just staying where they are. But then in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, send men to scout out the land of Canaan I am giving to the Israelites. Send one man who is a leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes. So in this moment, God is going to remind Moses of a couple of things. He says, hey, I've already told you what to do next. I've already told you where to go. I've already promised you the land that is waiting for you. But right now, in this moment, I want you to take 12 tribes or 12 spies from these 12 different groups of people, and I want them to go into the land and scout it out and then be prepared to come back and report what they've seen to the people. And when you look at the text, the 12 spies did just that. They were sent into the land of Canaan to scout out the land. And Moses told them before leaving exactly what they were supposed to look for. Check it out, verse 18. He said, see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land they live in good or bad? Are the cities they live in encampments or fortifications? Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? He said, be courageous. Bring back some fruit from the land. And so you see, these men did exactly what he said to do. For 40 days, they looked over everything. They scouted the land. In fact, two of the spies, named Joshua and Caleb, were so excited about this land that God had promised them that they were just overjoyed. That they called the land beautiful, and they said it was flowing with milk and honey. Now, what does that mean? It's not real milk and it's not real honey, but that was an expression to say, man, there's vegetation everywhere. Stuff grows here, which is a really big deal in the Middle East. I don't know if you've ever been to the Holy Land, but when you see the Holy Land, it is desert land. Things don't grow in the desert, but there's this one particular section, this one little area on the map where things grow in abundance, and that's what they're talking about. They're looking around and saying, man, everything is growing here. In fact, verse 23 tells us that they looked around and they saw pomegranates growing, and they saw figs growing, and they saw grapes growing in abundance. If you'll look closely at verse 23, it said they cut a branch off with several grapes on it, and then two guys put those big grapes on a pole, and they started carrying it around. Now, it doesn't say that they were shiny guys, but I personally believe they were, all right? And so that's what you see in the text. Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, and they are absolutely thrilled that God was blessing them, and he was going to allow them to experience this promised land. However, there were 10 other spies in the story that were not so thrilled. And in fact, when you read the text, you'll see very quickly that these guys were extremely skeptical. They were nervous. They weren't excited at all about this idea of continuing forward and being stretched and having to strain to finally acquire this promised land that God had been telling them about for so long. They weren't excited about having to continue moving forward to this uncharted territory that God was calling them into. So for 40 days, they scouted the land and they decided amongst themselves that they would bring back a negative report to the people and try to persuade the people to go in another direction instead of going in the direction that God was calling them into. Verse 27 says, they reported to Moses, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. And here is some of its fruit. You can see him pointing at the shiny guys when he said that. Verse 28 says, however, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. So they told the people, listen, the men here are like giants. In fact, the Bible says we are like grasshoppers compared to the men who live here. They're stronger than us, they said. One quote was, these men will plunder our women and our children if we move forward. And so get this in your mind. These 10 spies were doing everything in their power to discourage God's people from moving forward. And guess what happened? It worked. It worked. Numbers 14:1 says the whole community broke into loud cries and the people wept all night. I mean, you just talk about a disaster happening in the community. These people are confused. They didn't know what to do. I mean, they've been following Moses and they've been following Aaron and they're following the direction that the Lord is sending them. But now their heads are spinning and they're saying, what are we supposed to do? Do we continue following the Lord's direction through Moses or do we listen to these other 10 guys? These guys that we consider to be leaders. I mean, we look up to these people. They're representing our tribe. Do we just follow them and go backwards to Egypt? Look at the word. Verse 2 says, some of the Israelites were crying out, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. These people are losing their minds. This is a state of chaos in the city. And you can imagine them crying out to God, saying, why didn't we just die? But then in verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people. You can see him just calling a timeout. He blew a whistle. And he's like, no more crying out. Listen to what I have to say. It says, Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, let's go up now. Let's go up now and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. I love that. Even in that moment of chaos, in the moment where everyone else was crying out to God, Caleb said, no, listen, we need to move forward. And Caleb demonstrated that he had the faith to move forward. And he and Joshua, as these two spies, they believed God for the victory that God had promised them. They believed him. But the 10 spies, they were convinced that moving forward would still be far too risky. So Numbers chapter 14 tells us that they looked around and they said in verse 3, wouldn't it be better for us to just go back to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. Get this picture in your mind. Two spies in front of all these people, and they're saying, we have to move forward with God. We have to move forward with God. And then you have these other 10 spies, and they didn't necessarily trust God for that next step. They're saying, listen, boys, the men there are too strong. The cities there are too fortified. We'll never conquer them. So because of that, we would rather go backwards where it's comfortable than to trust God for with what's ahead. So they brought this negative report to the people, and they convinced them that moving forward into this promised land wasn't worth the risk. You know what happens next in this story? God gave them the desires of their hearts. That's what it says. He gave them the desires of their hearts, and he told the people, he said, because of your lack of faith, you will never see the promised land. Because you have failed to trust me with what I've already promised you, you will never experience my very best. Look at Numbers 14:30. The Lord said, I swear that none of you will enter the land I promised to settle you in, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, the two. He said, I will bring your children, whom you said would become plunder, into the land you rejected, and they will enjoy it. But as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Listen, God said to those who are lacking faith, you will never experience the blessings I had reserved for you. Your children will, but you won't. And not only does God say that they're going to miss out on his blessing, look at verse 37. It says, those men who spread the negative report about the land were struck down by the Lord. Only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men who went to scout out the land. As I reread this passage of scripture this week, and I considered the message that God had for us, I was reminded of something. I was reminded that not every generation gets it right with God. Would you agree with that? Not every generation gets it right with God. But you know what? I believe our generation still can. I believe that with all my heart. Not every generation has gotten it right, but I believe that God's given us today. He's given us moments like today to take a step in that direction. You see, I believe he gives each of us in every single generation moments like today to put the faith that we claim to have on display. Not for others to see, but for him to see. The faith that we claim to have, taking it out of our heart and putting it at his feet and saying, God, I really do trust you, and I want to demonstrate that in a real, tangible way. He gives us opportunities like these, where he puts a metaphorical fork in the road and he allows you and I to pick our proverbial path. And we get to answer the question, am I truly going to be one of the two, or am I going to be one of the 10? Am I going to be one of the two that trusts you when trusting you is hard? Or am I going to be one of the 10 that says, let's just go back to Egypt. Let's go backwards because moving forward is too risky. Am I going to believe God for the victory ahead like Joshua and like Caleb? Is my next step going to be a step of faith forward that puts a smile on the face of God? Or will it be a step of disbelief backwards that breaks the heart of Almighty God? I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the two. I want to experience the promised land. I want to experience God's very best. Listen to me. I don't want to experience God's second best or third best. I want to experience all that God has reserved for me. How about you? Listen, do you want to miss out on the blessings of God? I don't. I want God's very best in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in this community, in this church. Why would we settle for second best when God said the promised land is just a couple of faith steps forward? Listen, I want to have the faith to move forward and trust God for the victory. But that starts with our next step. We can't just skip to the promised land. We've got to take one faith step after another faith step, and we've got to trust God every step of the way. The question is, do we? Do we truly trust him? Are we ready to follow him? Do we believe that the promised land is worth it? I want God's very best in my life. Somebody say amen to that, right? I mean, we want God's very best in our church, amen? We want to experience God's very best. And he gives us moments like these, one step after another step that's leading to that place. You know how to get there? By faith. I mean, it's the answer. We get there by faith. That's how we get to where God is trying to take us. That's where we get to the place where we can say we are being fully maximized for the kingdom of God. It's one faith step after another. My prayer is that we as a church are prepared to take that next step together. Amen.